Hello everyone, this is Chris Gill. I'm here at the Todmorden and Mills in Toronto. So I'm here with...
I'm Ulana Balak, Museum Administrator at Todmorden and Mills Heritage Site.
And I'm Laurie Zubinger, and I'm a Program Officer here.
So I've just had a bit of a tour of the Todmorden and Mills, which is an old paper mill, an old brewery which burned down, and some quite nice old houses built by people from Todmorden. So first question to Ulana, I'll ask, so can Todmorden have this area back?
Well, we're quite proud of having it here, so we're happy to have a little bit of England here and a little bit of Todmorden here in Canada.
Okay, so that was a no.
I think that's a no.
Well, actually, in Todmorden, not many people knew there was a Todmorden Mills here in Canada. There's apparently a Todmorden sheep station somewhere in Australia.
Oh.
But people didn't know there was a Todmorden Mills. So we need to increase our understanding, I think.
And our contacts and our connections, yes.
Have you ever been to Todmorden?
I have not. I have, I guess the closest I've gotten is sort of Liverpool and Chester is about the closest I've gotten to there, and I've spent a lot of time in Scotland, but I've not made it to Todmorden on my travels yet.
Nor have I, and I look forward to visiting.
Well, I definitely think you should come. We should try to arrange it. I'd say that Todmorden we have, because here you have a wonderful theatre and a wonderful art gallery, and these wonderful old houses where they've done incredibly in-depth research into restoring the buildings. Did you say one of the buildings was you've restored to 18...
To the 1890s, and that's William Halliwell's house, and William came from Todmorden. In fact, in his diaries, which we have online, and I would encourage people to take a look at them because they're pretty comprehensive and they span a number of decades here in the valley. And William was originally from Todmorden. It's his family who renamed the area, which was originally called the Don Mills, and they renamed it Todmorden because it reminded them of their own hometown.
Yes, because it's a hill.
That's right. So they built their brewery was built in 1821. And it was a very successful brewery. It provided beer for Fort York, which is one of our National Historic Sites, and also for much of the north shore of Lake Ontario. And unfortunately, the brewery burnt down in 1847, as you mentioned. It had a cooperage and a distillery attached to it, as well as a private residence. And that fire kind of precipitated the movement of the Halliwell family, the entire family, out of this area and into Highland Creek, which is in Scarborough, east of here.
Oh, they moved. Did they discover how they set fire to the distillery and the brewery?
It was part of the beer making process, the brewing process, and there was always heating involved and the worts and everything else, and there was a fire.
And it was quite common for not just breweries and distilleries, but a lot of industrial establishments at the time. Fire was often a way that business was brought to a close, because with the amount of machinery and the friction, and you know, particularly when alcohol is involved, which is so flammable. But also our paper mill here, much later at the turn of the 20th century, it also suffered a fire. So that was not in the days before people had business insurance and fire insurance and things like that. That was not an uncommon way to go out of business.
And in this area, because the Don River flowed directly behind our paper mill and through the property, there was also regular flooding. So we were constantly in peril, I think, from either fires or flooding. And that's part of the history of the site.
A bit like real Todmorden. Yeah, that's why we build everything out of stone.
Oh.
And that's not as accessible here in this part of southern Ontario. There's not a lot of stone available. You don't see many stone buildings around the Toronto area. Typically, it was all wooden buildings because, of course, trees were very plentiful, but not a lot of stone that's easily accessible. And then later on, bricks come into play. Yeah.
And that's part of our history as well. But William Halliwell's house is an unusual one. It's one of the few that is built of sun-dried bricks here from the valley and then covered in stucco. So it's an adobe structure. And that's the original structure that he built in 1838
for
his young family.
There'd be a lot of people interested in that building process.
Yeah.
As we in Todmorden now, they're trying to build a school of new building materials using straw and things like that, and bricks, adobe. I guess that's a similar process.
And we believe that he had really adapted what he was familiar with in both the structure of the house and the materials. And this is an area that has a very, very rich clay source, as you can see, because later on the Taylor family established the brickworks. And the brickworks provided the bricks for the rebuilding of Toronto after the 1904 fire. And many of the largest buildings, including our old City Hall, part of the University of Toronto, the major structures in the city were built from bricks from here. So we like to say that Todd Morton was a small industrial community that provided bricks, beer, flour, and lumber for the growing city of Toronto.
That's great. So basically, Tomodin built half of Toronto.
That's what we like to think.
Yeah. All right.
Going forward, one of the descendants of the Hallowell family, one of the nephews of William Hallowell, became an architect. So he opened Grant Hallowell opened a firm called Gordon and Hallowell with a business partner. And they literally built a fair bit of Toronto. There are a number of churches and other buildings around the city, some of which are still very prominent churches that are still standing that were built by Hallowell as an architect. So there are a lot of different connections here with the valley city and the families in the building of the city.
Well, it'd be very interesting. There must be so many Hallowells back in Tomodin listening to these tales of their ancestors who went off to Canada. Do you know why they came originally, or is there any?
Yes, there was a reason. And you're more familiar with it than I am. You, Chris, probably.
Oh,
because and the family came separately. Dad had to go separately. Thomas Hallowell Sr. came separately, and the family went on a different route at a different time because they didn't want it to appear that they were leaving.
Oh.
So they came, and it was kind of a perilous journey that the family
That's
had.
That's right, yeah.
They ran aground a few times.
Yeah, and then they originally settled briefly in Niagara-on-the-Lake before purchasing this property on the Don and moving up to what's now Toronto. There's a story about their move from Niagara to Toronto when everything was packed up. There wasn't enough. So the story goes, there wasn't enough room on the wagon for Mrs. Hallowell, so she rode in the big copper brewing kettle
that they
for
used,
the journey
with one of the child in her lap.
Yeah.
And then that was used in the brewery, and that was eventually sold to another business. But Sarah Lord Hallowell was, after her husband died, took over the brewery and ran the brewery until the older sons were 21. So there was quite a period where she was the brewster.
Oh.
She was quite a successful business.
What was the name of the beer they were brewing?
We don't know that. And one of the challenges we've had is, despite the fact that William left these extensive diaries, the recipe for the brew has not been, we have not located it. There is someone who is a beer historian who feels that he may have been able to recreate that beer based on the intricate kind of detail and chemical information that's provided in the brewery. And he, in fact, has brewed it. It's a cask beer, so he's brewed it. And it will be available for sampling, I think, in November in one
I
of the little festivals.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a gentleman.
Jordan named St. John.
So there'll be a Tomodin.
Well, we're hoping, I think our one, because there are so many microbreweries here, as you said, in Tomodin as well, and the craft brewery industry is flourishing here, we hope to eventually partner with someone and then have a beer that's either named after Tomodin or the Hallowells.
Well, we have in Tomodin, I think one of the famous ones they make is called Studley Pike.
Oh.
Do you know what Studley Pike is?
No.
So on the hilltops of Tomodin, there's Studley Pike, which was built originally to celebrate the liberation of Paris.
Oh.
But then it fell down, and then they built it again after Waterloo.
Okay.
And it's the main thing you see if you come into Tomodin. It's huge. It's on the top of the hill, and it's like a pike. But anyway, there's a beer named after that.
Okay. Well, we hope to have a beer named after
Tomodin Mills beer.
Or Tomodin, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so thank you guys. So I'm sure if people come out from Tomodin to visit Tomodin Mills, they'll get a warm welcome.
Absolutely.
They certainly will. And the other thing I would like to encourage people is to send us an email or take a look at the website that we have. We do a lot of different things here, but we do have a digital version of the Hallowell Diaries, which we can send to anyone who's interested.
Oh, I'm sure that...
And they're really fascinating. He documents his courtship of Betsy, his first wife, and that is a very charming story. His trip to London when he's sent off to learn how to
his
brew.
His visit back to Todd Morton in 1832.
Oh. Yeah, it's a really, really fascinating diary. Lots of unusual spelling, as was common in that time period. And then it really does exist into his late 80s when he was involved with the fisheries. He documents the last of the salmon in the Don, the state of the roads. He's involved in the rebellion here of 1837 and is a staunch supporter of the family compact. And there are lots of really fascinating anecdotes. It's a fascinating diary of what Canada and York and Toronto were like in the early 19th and mid and late 19th centuries, but also a very personal document, which is very touching. And you get a real sense of how, I think, charming he was, to be honest with you. Yeah.
It sounds quite an interesting character.
He is a really wonderful character, and I find him very, very, very sincere in the diaries and the documentation about his first wife's birthdays.
Yeah.
It's very touching. It's very, very touching. There are days when he just says, rained, rained, rained. But there are days when he has very long entries, and they're really, really interesting. They're fascinating. So I would encourage people to take a look at them.
I'm sure they will. We have a big historian society. I'm sure they'd be very interested to maybe even drag you out there to talk about it.
Well, thank you. It's been
thank
a pleasure
it's
to
been
meet
great.
You. Thank
I'm
you for coming.
Glad I found it. It's been quite an adventure. Okay, I'm going to sign off now. Bye.